That vamp speed of yours.
Jumping jacks?
To circulate my blood through your system. I promise it'll keep you from burning when you walk out of here at my side.
He slid away from the door, opened it, and stepped out. Before closing the door, leaving her alone, he looked back.
Hurry.
She was so aroused it literally hurt. It wasn't the best time for it. Glacier's life was on the line. Yes, he was a Garlycan, and she'd seen what his body could do when he turned all gray. The thing she wasn't sure of was whether he'd survive a bomb going off. She threw up her arms and did what he said, feeling ridiculous while she flapped around. But it did get her heart beating fast. She was out of breath by the time she'd finished and quickly dressed. Pest had bought her the right size bra. It wasn't one she'd have chosen, but it didn't matter. The underwear were thongs. She rolled her eyes, putting them on. The shirt was a bit tight but fell long, almost like a mini dress. Black stretch jeans came next. Again, something she wouldn't have picked, but they fit well, hugging her body. They'd be comfortable on a motorcycle. He'd bought her slip-on canvas shoes she found at the bottom of the bag. They were a tiny bit large, but she could walk in them. One glance around the bathroom, then she grabbed the makeup and dye spray, shoving it back in the bag. She didn't want to leave it behind in case the werewolves came in, searching for her. She left the bathroom and rushed downstairs. Pest and Glacier waited, holding their backpacks. Both looked grim. Pest sniffed.
You don't smell like vamp right now. New clothes and that damn hair stuff is all I'm picking up.
He glanced at his brother.
You? Same.
Glacier held out his hand and she passed him the bag. He shoved it into his backpack, zipping it up and handing it to her.
Sorry, but you need to wear this. We're walking out, putting on our helmets, and you climb on behind me. Hold on tight.
Terror hit as she shouldered his pack. Are you sure about this? It hurt to burn. There were some things so horrible a person never forgot. The sensation of sunlight touching her skin could be compared to being doused in gasoline and set on fire. It had left her screaming in agony. Healing from it, even given blood right after, hurt almost as much while her skin regrew. Glacier nodded.
Trust me.
I do.
Act like it's nighttime,
Pest added softly.
Don't move fast to reveal what you are. Blurring your speed is a sure giveaway, Shortstack. Or looking panicked as shit. Own that sunlight like it's your bitch. It is, with my bro's blood inside you. You won't burn.
She nodded. How long does it last? Pest reached inside his backpack and withdrew sunglasses.
You'll be fine. You drank a lot?
She nodded. About 2 pints. I didn't want to take more than that.
I'm fine.
Glacier smiled.
I feel great. Not lightheaded at all. I told you that you wouldn't hurt me. I'm not human.
Pest passed her the sunglasses. They were ugly, the kind that looked more like tinted goggles with curved earpieces to hook around the back of the ears.
The sun might hurt your eyes. Wear these. The face shield on the helmet is tinted, but double protection is best. It's possible that you might be temporarily blinded otherwise. Your eyes won't be used to that kind of light, and I read some ancient texts that mentioned it can happen the first time a vampire feeds from a gargoyle. Just be cool. Your eyes won't be damaged, but it may feel that way at first.
I'm scared. She stared up at Glacier.
I'd never let anything happen to you.
She believed him. Okay.
Let's leave this dump.
Pest unlocked the door.
Glasses on, Shortstack. Move slow and act normal. Think back to when you were human. Pretend you are. This pack was made aware that Glacier isn't here alone. They might believe you're another Garlycan.
She put on the glasses, her hands shaking. Glacier came to her, gripping her bare arm in a good hold, probably in case she freaked or chickened out. Pest swung the door open, and the bright light did blind her. She blinked a few times. She could see, but everything was blurry and hazy. Pest strode out first, putting on his backpack. He lifted his head.
We're leaving. What you demanded is in the basement. You guys are going to pay for this bullshit. Oh, and she's not restrained. I hope she eats some of you fuckers when you go in there after her. She's strong enough to be awake right now.
I'm with you, baby,
Glacier whispered. He walked forward, pulling her along. She stepped willingly into direct sunlight for the first time in almost 30 years, more than aware that her arms were bare from the elbows down, her face and neck too. Her skin tingled, but there was no pain. After a few steps, she also realized she had been holding her breath. She breathed in and relaxed. Glacier released her arm, seeming to understand that she was okay. She couldn't see well, so she focused on him, following as he walked to one of the motorcycles. He removed two helmets, passing her one. She shoved it over her head. He put his own on, straddled the bike, and started it. He jerked his covered head, and she took the hint, climbing on behind him.
Don't ever return to our territory,
some guy shouted.
Fuck you,
Glacier yelled back. He lowered his voice.
Hold on tight to me.
She wrapped her arms around his waist and found the pegs for her feet. His bike didn't have a bar at her back. Pest started his own bike, and that's when Glacier took off. Pest drove behind them down the alley. Warm sun caressed her skin. It still tingled a little, but there was no pain. The sheer shock of being out in daylight made the experience feel surreal. It was something she never would have expected to happen again in her life after being turned into a vampire. They stopped for traffic and merged when they could leave the alley. She squinted a little, but her eyesight improved after they'd made it a few blocks. Humans were out and about, walking around, living their lives in the daylight. She looked up to glance at the sun, but it instantly blinded her. She lowered her chin, seeing spots. It didn't hurt, but she wasn't ready to do that again anytime soon. She tightened her arms around Glacier. He released the hand grip and gently cupped her hand over his waist at a red light.
It's going to be fine. How are you doing?
She realized, since she could hear him so well, that there must be a speaker inside the helmet. She hadn't noticed when she'd first climbed on the bike.
I'm good.
Can you see anything?
Things are a bit blurry, but it's getting better. It's so bright.
He chuckled.
Get used to it. You're my mate. This is how it will be from now on.
He'd stunned her again.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
I won't risk losing you. Now let's have this conversation later, in more detail. I don't know if these headsets are secure.
I had no idea this was possible.
That's the point. The highway is coming up.
They merged with traffic and Pess drove up beside them, both bikes sharing the lane. Mandy just enjoyed the view. Her vision became clearer, helping her make out every detail around her. She couldn't see as far as usual, but it was beautiful and breathtaking to see sunlight glinting off all the vehicles. She glanced down at the part of her arm that was exposed. Her flesh wasn't blackened or even red. It still tingled from time to time, but the sensation was so faint it wasn't alarming. She adjusted her hold on Glacier, using his body and clothes to help her shield some of her skin from the sun.
Are you all right?
I'm tingling a bit where the sun is on me. Is that normal?
I don't know. No pain, though?
No.
Slide your hands under my shirt.
She did it, enjoying feeling his bare skin under her palms.
Better? You tell me if something starts to go wrong. It shouldn't, though.
That didn't reassure her. He seemed to read her mind or guess what she was thinking about, considering his next words.
I'll tell you why that law was made. I have to put this carefully, remember?
He paused.
I know that once, both of them got along. They didn't always hate each other. Then the ones like you wanted what my kind had. They called it a cure, which is pretty fucking dumb because it's not like you take it once and it lasts forever.
She nodded against him. But it will last for the day?
It should. That's what the historical accounts we have say. Sometimes a few days with regular, doses.
Feedings, she supplemented silently.
They wanted to use us.
Again, she could translate. Vampires had wanted to enslave gargoyles in order to drink their blood. but she'd seen Glacier Shell. She'd probably break her fangs if she attempted to bite him when he became dark gray. I bet that didn't go over well.
No, it didn't. Anyone who came after us died. It lasted for a long damn time.
You said that. Thousands of years.
Eventually, anyone who had known and tried to get what they called the cure just wasn't around anymore. The battle stopped. Laws were made to keep it from restarting.
But you broke that law today.
I got permission. We're also here, and nowhere near where those battles took place. It would still be a disaster if anyone found out. Do you understand?
She could just imagine. If the Council found out drinking gargoyle blood could give them the ability to walk in the sun, to not burn, they'd do anything to obtain a gargoyle. Every nest might join together to start a new war. Rumor had it that there weren't all that many garlicans and gargoyles in the United States. The vampires would attempt it. They might lose thousands of lives in the process, but it would be worth it if they caught anyone with gargoyle blood to feed from.
Shit. It would be horrible.
Yeah, baby.
They can never find out. She held him a little tighter. Glacier would be in danger.
They won't.
What about when the ones we just left enter the shop? They're expecting to find something that isn't there.
Took care of that. I had Pest burn something.
She closed her eyes and snuggled into his back, hoping the werewolves bought that the ashes they found used to be her.
Why'd he tell them that you left me unchained?
He chuckled.
To stall for time? They're a bunch of pussies. I want us long gone before they work up the nerve to go in and find what we really left behind.
Glacier didn't like how quiet Mandy had become after their talk. He knew she wasn't in pain, though, since she occasionally rubbed his stomach with her hand. It was a form of torture, since he'd had a constant hard-on after she'd bitten him. They had left the Lycan territory hours ago. He drew his brother's attention and motioned at his tank. Pest gave him a hand signal to indicate he understood. They changed lanes, getting off the highway at the next gas station.
We're pulling off for a bit. I need to refill the tank and eat something.
Okay.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
Is your skin hurting at all?
No.
Talk to me. I'm starting to worry.
Mandy hesitated.
I just keep thinking about how much you've risked for me. Why did you do this?
Because you're mine.
He pulled into the gas station and parked in front of a pump. Pest took the spot on the other side. Glacier tapped her hands as he put the kickstand down and killed the engine.
You might feel stiff from riding for hours. Stand up and stretch.
I'll keep the helmet on.
Is your skin okay? Don't hide anything from me.
She released him and climbed off. He missed the slight weight of her pressed against his back. She did as he asked, lifting her arms above her head. His gaze locked on her breasts, which were pushed out in the process, and he wished she weren't wearing clothes.
Enough of that shit, Pest chuckled. I can't see your face, but there's nothing wrong with my sense of smell. Think about sex later. Public bathrooms are nasty. No family of mine is going to lower themselves to screw in one. In a few more hours, we'll settle in before dark at some hotel. Motel,
Glacier corrected.
Hotel. They have cameras and better security. We want to keep Shortstack completely off the supernatural radar. Motels are buffets to her kind. Plus, while I don't think we're being followed, that was a crowded highway. We also didn't have time to look over our bikes when we left, which I plan to do now, to see if they're tracking us. I'll fill the tanks. You go inside to grab us grub and something to drink. Shortstack will be in my company since we want to keep her helmet on. It would look weird if she walked inside with it on. Someone might think she's about to rob the place. Humans are too uptight.
Glacier removed his helmet.
Be back. Stick with Pest, Mandy.
Like glue, she promised.
Glacier strode inside the mini-mart part of the gas station, grabbing some pre-made sandwiches and water for him and his brother. He waited in line and then paid. He continually scanned the area, breathing through his nose. Only humans were inside the store. He liked it better that way. He exited, dropping off the bag on his bike seat.
I'm going to take a leak. I'll go after you get back.
Pest had finished filling Glacier's motorcycle and moved around the pump to his own bike.
Are you doing okay, Mandy?
She nodded at him.
Yes.
Be right back.
Glacier entered the bathroom and used it fast, washed his hands, and took a minute to check his phone. He had a few missed calls from that asshole Kevin, one from Neb and another from Creed. He texted both of his brothers, letting them know they were on the road and he'd speak to them when they settled for the night. He and Pest ate fast, standing near the pump since the station wasn't busy. Then, while Pest inspected the bikes, Glacier checked over Mandy's exposed skin. It had become a little pink, but not enough to alarm him. Otherwise, he'd have dragged her into the bathroom to make her feed from him again. Pest nudged him. His brother frowned and flashed open his palm. Glacier identified what he was being shown.
Yours or mine? Yours, under the edge of the seat.
What's going on?
Mandy inched closer. Pest dumped the device into the trash with the food wrappers.
We were tracked.
Glacier climbed on the bike, putting on his helmet.
Kevin isn't done with us yet, or he wanted to make damn sure we left his territory. The idiot is probably planning something. We're definitely staying in a high-end hotel tonight, something with at least 8 floors. Lichens don't fly. We can. Penthouse suite it is, and hopefully they have balconies.
Pest started his bike. But we're out of his territory. Mandy sounded dismayed.
I think that's the point. He probably believes he can come after me tonight and not get blamed if I die. He doesn't really want a war with Gar Lichens. Just me. He's too much of a pussy for that. Fucking moron,
Pest muttered.
That's Kevin.
Then they were on the road again. They could leave the main highway, but the smaller ones led to out-of-the-way spots, which would make for an easier attack. Every mile they drove without someone seemingly following them had Glacier relaxing a little more. Still, he kept his attention on his mirrors. He had a mate to protect. He'd allow nothing to happen to Mandy. Chapter 12. The suite had 2 master bedrooms with attached private bathrooms, a large living space, and a balcony. They were on the 10th floor of a well-known hotel chain. Mandy had kept her chin tucked as they'd checked in and taken the elevator to their floor. Pest dropped his bag inside the door, addressing his brother.
I'm going to go eat a real meal in the restaurant, have a beer, and maybe get laid. I'll take my time, since you have a promise to keep.
He pointed at Glacier.
Make damn certain the bond is strong. We don't need your girl drawing lichens to us on the road tomorrow like the Pied Piper of Pussy.
Excuse me? Mandy gaped at Pest.
It's not a given that she'll react that way. We're in uncharted territory,
Glacier responded.
True enough, but it's best to be prepared in case it does happen. Tell her about the calling.
Pest left the suite, closing the door after him. Mandy turned to Glacier, arching her eyebrows.
It's a weird gargoyle thing, because my kind tend to be thick-headed and emotionally remote. It's possible that you may put off fuck-me pheromones that any man will respond to. Lichens are especially susceptible, since they have the best sense of smell. Think of a lichen woman in heat times 10. It makes lichen men lose their damn minds and go into a frenzy unless they're already mated. Even close proximity to humans, despite their duller senses, will make them horny.
She felt a little stunned yet again.
It's true. It's why it's called the calling. Your body will make sure a gargoyle wants to fuck you to seal the bond all the way to make it strong. The good news is we get to fuck like bunnies tonight to make sure you're properly claimed.
He grinned.
No, I'm not going to complain about that. Are you?
She grinned back.
I've seen bunnies fuck. So you plan to furiously hump me and finish in about 20 seconds?
He put down the pack he held and lunged. She laughed as he lifted her, tossing her over his shoulder and walking into one of the bedrooms. He used his boot to close the door.
Maybe not like rabbits, but we're not getting much sleep tonight. I know you have to be exhausted.
I'm doing good, and I suddenly feel very awake.
He bent, easing her onto her feet next to the bed.
Strip, baby. I'll be right back.
He left her and entered the bathroom, closing the door. Mandy kicked off her shoes and removed her clothes, noticing the pinkness had faded already from where the sun had touched her. The toilet flushed in the other room and water ran. She pulled back the covers, climbing into bed. Both excitement and nerves filled her. She knew lichens took mates, and it seemed gargoyles did as well. But she'd never thought she'd become a mate. Companion to a vampire wasn't nearly as intense. They agreed to live together, set rules to abide by, but could always part ways if it didn't work out. That wasn't the case with mates. It would be a bond forever, only to be broken with death, from what she understood. It was tempting to shower. The smell of her hair bothered her, along with the makeup. She jumped out of bed just as the door to the bathroom opened. Glacier's cool blue eyes roamed down her body, and he reached for the front of his jeans.
You're so sexy.
I want to shower first. I smell.
I don't give a damn. We're bonding first. We'll shower later.
I reek, Glacier. Even I can't stand it. Wearing the helmet didn't exactly air out this hair color stuff. He opened his pants, bent and tore off his boots, then his socks. He straightened, shoving his pants off. The shirt went last. She stared at his body. He had an amazing one, muscular and cut. His cock was thick and hard. He smiled.
Get back on the bed unless you'd like me to take you standing.
He strode to her.
We're meeting.
What does that entail? You need to bite me, right? We have to exchange blood?
I need to flux and bite you during sex. It will trigger mating in a gargoyle.
She frowned. Flux?
I need to partially shift. Wings out, my skin very lightly shelled. I'll drink your blood while I'm fucking you. It will trigger me to secrete hormones that I release into you with my sperm. That will mate us. You understand?
She really didn't, but she thought she got the gist. Has someone like you ever mated to a vampire before?
Not that I'm aware of. That's not saying it hasn't happened, but no one wrote about it in our history books we have at the Cliffs. You'll be my mate, though, regardless of whether your body reacts the way other women's do to mating.
What happens normally?
The calling, if we don't bond strongly. If we do, I'll be able to track you anywhere you go. It's a mate thing. My instincts will lead me to you.
Like a homing device or something? He stopped in front of her but didn't touch.
Yes.
What about me? Will I be able to sense and track you?
That's a gargoyle thing, so I doubt it. But regardless of our physical responses to this mating, you're mine, Mandy. Make the commitment to me. Say you'll be my other half.
She reached up and pressed her hands to his chest. I can't have babies. You'll be giving up becoming a father. He didn't flinch or react in any way.
I'm aware.
Mating is for life with you, right? You're half werewolf.
We like the term lichen better. Yes, this is for life, Mandy. I'm never gonna let you go. I don't give a damn about having kids. One day, if that ever changes, we'll figure it out.
Can your blood change mine enough to make me fertile?
No, baby. There would have been warnings written about it. I'm certain that it's impossible. I'm sorry if you were hopeful. Walking in the sun without burning is the best I can give you.
That's not true. You're offering me the world. I just wish I could feel as though I'm giving you the same. Instead, I'm cursing you to a life without having a family. He moved, sat on the bed, and hooked her waist. He pulled her onto his lap and held her there.
I already have a family. My father got my mother pregnant 4 times with his sperm. He was a shit dad. I won't go into all the details, but let's just say when my youngest brother had to kill him, it was warranted and approved by the rest of us. emphasis on the had to kill him. Father left Creed with no choice. My mother is dead because she was a lichen mated to a cold-hearted bastard who never loved her. He didn't give a damn that he slowly killed her with his absolute neglect of her emotional needs. The point is, they had a family, and look how bad that turned out. One day, if we want kids, we can adopt. I've come across plenty of orphans, both human and lichen, who I helped find homes for after shit hit the fan in their lives. Other guardians have experienced the same tragedies and dealt with the survivors. I can put word out to my clan and even to the vamp lichens if we're ever ready to raise a child. We won't be able to pick the race or sex, but I don't give a damn. A child in need of love is all that matters. But right now, I just want you. Let's worry about the future later.
He never ceased amazing and stunning her.
What other roadblocks do you want to throw up? Go ahead. I'll tell you how we get around them. Bottom line, we'll work it out. That's what mates do.
She slid her hands into his hair and leaned close to kiss him for the first time. He met her lips with his. A soft growl came from his throat as their mouths merged. She knew her fangs slid out, but he had some too. Bigger, more vicious. It made kissing momentarily difficult, but she tilted her head a little more and he was right. They could work things out. Her gar lichen could kiss. He turned, flipping her onto her back and came down on top of her on the bed. She parted her thighs to make room for his hips. He moved into position, rocking his stiff cock against her pussy. Desire and need rose stronger until she moaned and released his hair, clawing at his back. She spread her legs wider, wrapping them around his hips. He broke the kiss.
Slow down, baby.
She loved the husky, rough edge to his voice. Rabbits, remember? Just last more than 20 seconds. I want you inside me.
He nudged her face with his, and she exposed her throat. The thought of him biting didn't frighten her in the least. It excited her more. She'd heal regardless of what his big fangs did to her. She also trusted him not to hurt her. He needed to drink some of her blood, but he'd probably only nick her. He reached up and offered his wrist. Bite, baby. She hesitated. He didn't. He licked her throat, placing hot, wet kisses on her flesh, and then his fangs sank into her skin. She latched onto his wrist, grabbing hold of it to keep it against her mouth while she drank from him. Gleisher's fangs left her skin, but he continued to suck from her. She moaned louder, grinding her pussy against his cock. He adjusted his hips and entered her deep in one thrust. Pain and pleasure blurred, but it didn't matter. He fucked her hard and fast. The bed creaked, but she barely registered the sound, too lost in bloodlust and ecstasy. Her climax built as he pounded into her harder, and he suddenly yanked his wrist from her mouth. She wanted to protest until she realized his wrist, still in her hand, didn't feel as it should. Mandy opened her eyes, staring at his skin still so close to her mouth. It had turned gray, and his wings were spread out over them, blanketing the bed around them. They were black and beautiful. She released his wrist and reached out to them, running her fingertips along the velvety surface that hardened as she stroked it. Glacier snarled and fucked her violently, sending her over the edge. She cried out his name as her climax struck. She forgot about his wings, or that he'd partially shelled while inside her, on top of her. Mandy closed her eyes to ride it through as he extended her pleasure and continued fucking her. Finally, he tensed, bucked his hips, and groaned her name. His hips jerked with every stream of semen he shot into her. Their bodies felt fused together. He had her pinned tightly to the bed under him, his wings all around them, and she clung to him. He stilled his hips, finally, breathing hard. Fuck. Was I too rough?
She smiled. I love love that.
I put a new spin on rock hard, don't I?
She ran her fingers over his skin. It was soft and supple again, no longer that odd texture.
I have no complaints.
Just for tonight, if I offer you some blood, take it fast. I damn near fluxed while your fangs were still in my skin.
She let that meaning behind that concept sink in.
Shit.
Yeah, it could have been bad.
Has that ever, happened?
Once.
He lifted up a bit. Her gaze met his.
Will you tell me about it?
Some bastard surprised me in a club. He dropped down on me like a spider from the ceiling before I ever heard or scented him. He sank his fangs into my shoulder. I shelled instantly and then flung him off me. The fangs stayed put. He didn't.
She flinched.
Yeah, my skin locked his fangs in place. It tore the fuckers right out. He was still screaming from the pain and shock while I removed his head. He was a bad guy who had to die anyway, since I wasn't sure if he'd managed to drink some of my blood before I reacted. I unshelled and pulled his fangs out. It seems they don't ash if they've been removed from a vamp first. I gave them as a gift to the Lycan woman he'd kidnapped.
She got past her trauma of the idea of having her fangs ripped out. It would be an agonizingly slow death. She'd be unable to feed without them and starve over time. Fangs didn't grow back. Why did he kidnap a werewolf woman?
He wanted to breed her. It's against the law for anyone to create a vamp Lycan without permission.
Had he succeeded?
No. I was called in after he'd attempted to steal a few women from a pack in Georgia. They had managed to fight him off. I was already in town when he actually grabbed one. I tracked her scent to where he had her locked up. She had a strong mind. He hadn't been able to tear into it yet. With time, he could have, but I located her too fast.
Why did he want to do that?
He shrugged. Who the fuck knows? I didn't exactly give a shit. He died, and the problem was resolved. The Lycan woman returned to her family with his fangs as a souvenir of her ordeal.
He adjusted his body over hers, kissing her lips.
No more talking. We're bonding, baby. You ready to go again? Because I am.
He was still inside her, still hard, and began to slowly rock his hips. She kissed him back, closing her eyes. It seemed Gar-Lycans didn't need recovery time the way human men did. She was totally on board with that. Glacier ordered room service and met the waiter at the door before he could knock and wake his mate. Mandy slept after the hours they'd spent making love, finally giving in to her exhaustion. Vampires weren't like Gar-Lycans. They needed daily sleep, something she'd been denied while they traveled on his motorcycle. He paid in cash and tipped the human. He sat at the table, scarfing down food, and texted Pest. His brother responded that he'd return to the room soon. He called Creed next, not worried about the fact that it was the middle of the night. His youngest brother answered immediately.
Are you safe with your mate? Yes. I take it Kelzeb filled you in. He did. A vampire.
Creed chuckled.
You always were ballsy and not one to follow the norm. I'm putting you on speaker. I'm with Neb.
That surprised him.
What is Neb doing in Alaska? I'm not.
Neb responded.
Creed came to me. He grabbed a flight from Anchorage to Seattle yesterday and then took another flight to meet up with me last night. We're currently driving through Utah toward the borders of Colorado and Wyoming. That's where Kelzeb said you're aiming for last you spoke to him. We were just waiting for you to call in. Where are you? Arizona. Turn toward us.
He gave them the city and hotel.
We put in some hours yesterday and a lot of miles, but we had to stop before the sun went down. That asshole Kevin put a tracker on my bike, but we found it right after we crossed the border out of New Mexico. Do you think he's planning on attacking you?
Neb paused.
Get me directions, Creed. I'm looking at the map. It's about a 6-hour drive from here, but with you behind the wheel, we can be there in 5 or less. We could abandon the rental and fly. It's faster.
Creed hesitated.
No, Neb. We wouldn't make it in time before the sun crests. Even at top speed, we'll fall short of reaching them. We're trapped in this car with your lead foot. It's amazing we haven't been pulled over. You're doing 110 miles an hour. There isn't shit out here, Do you see many other cars at this time on the freeway? No, you don't. It's called an interstate. So much for you being the older, wiser brother.
Glacier sipped his drink and grinned, listening to his brothers rib each other. A road trip with both of them sealed inside a vehicle together sounded hellish.
We'll stay here until you arrive. As for the question you asked, Kevin hasn't sent someone after us so far. It's looking like he put a tracker on my bike to make certain I left his territory. We're staying on alert just in case.
He gave them the room number right as the door opened, admitting Pest into the suite. He motioned him to take a seat since he'd ordered a few meals.
We're on our way.
Creed ended the call. Pest sat at the table and inhaled.
Smells like you bonded to your mate a lot. Good. Keep your voice down. Mandy fell asleep. Vampires usually do that during the day. She couldn't yesterday. She's wiped out. Creed and Neb are 6 hours out from us. According to Creed, they can make it in 5 with the way Neb drives.
Surprise flickered across Pest's features.
Shit. I guess I should have answered when both of them called me, but I just figured they wanted the details on you and Shortstack. That's your situation to explain to them. Would it kill you to call her Mandy? She's my mate.
She's adjusting to my nickname. It's as cute as she is.
I'm not picking up the calling. At least I don't have a boner. Don't be an ass.
I'm being honest. You either sealed the bond or she's not going to suffer the effects of mating you by putting out pheromones. What do you think?
Did you do the deed enough to avoid it, or is it because she's a vamp? I don't know. This is the first time I've taken a mate.
No shit. Pest unwrapped his napkin and dug into the nearest plate.
Spaghetti with meatballs. My favorite. I ordered for both of us. That's gotta be weird. What? Having a mate you'll never share dinner with? Or should I say, a very early breakfast, considering the time?
Glacier frowned.
It doesn't matter.
Pest shrugged.
Think of all the money you'll save over the years. No date nights at fancy restaurants to impress her. Your food bills won't increase unless you need to eat more to keep your blood levels up after you give her a vein.
Glacier flipped him off.
Where have you been? I hung out at the bar until closing to keep an eye on the lobby. No lichens have shown. Then I took the hot server to another room I rented on the 3rd floor with a view of the parking lot. I banged her against the damn window. She didn't seem to mind. I got to nail her while keeping guard. I doubt the lichens would use valet parking the way we did.
He winked.
I had just showered and gotten her out of there when you texted me. I had planned to stay there in case any of Kevin's pack arrived. I'm disappointed they haven't. Why the hell did they put a tracker on my bike if they didn't plan to come after me? To be assholes? Maybe he just wanted to make certain you left his territory by keeping tabs on where you headed. Who knows? He wasn't the brightest bulb on the tree.
Glacier nodded, taking a bite of food.
Maybe. Has he called you? 6 times. No messages or texts. He hangs up when I don't answer. I bet he was pissed when he sent his enforcers into that shop only to discover ashes in the basement. I just hope they bought it was Mandy and don't suspect anything. Who the fuck would think the woman who walked out with us was a vampire? There was direct sunlight streaming overhead as she stood there getting on the bike with you. They watched us drive away. She didn't turn to ashes. He'll believe she was one of ours.
Glacier hopes so.
The council needs to be dealt with. I was thinking about that as well. If that master was being protected by someone on their council, they aren't going to be pleased when they learn of his death. It would be stupid of them to send more assassins after the Lycans. It's possible they might, though. I'm not willing to risk it. I hate Kevin, but his pack shouldn't have to pay with the loss of lives because he's an idiot. I concur. We'll wait for our brothers to arrive and make a trip tonight. Where? We don't know how to get a hold of their council. No, but you said there was another assassin in Kevin's town.
Glacier nodded.
Olivia, Mandy's friend. She may have fled if she found Mandy's tracker with the ashes in the alley. You said they're friends. Would you just walk away if your friend got killed, or would you stick around trying to find the bastard responsible? Point made. Unless she was ordered to leave. We can be hopeful that this Olivia hung around and we find her. She'll have a number for the council. I don't want her hurt. It would be painful for Mandy. Unfucking believable. Glacier held his brother's gaze. What? Before now, we'd have killed this vamp just because she's an assassin for the council. Now you're all kittens and puppy dogs, sweet on your maid, and you want to spare her friend's life. Assassins are killers, Glacier. So are we. It doesn't mean we do it for kicks. Olivia was left with no choice but to work for the council. Same with Mandy. They're servants led by their masters, and refusal means death. Let's see if we can track Olivia and reach out to the council to send them a message. We'll say we kept her alive as a good faith gesture. Pest sighed. Fine. What about Shortstack? Do we leave her here on her own? Is she safe? I hate the idea of flying hours away, possibly having to spend a whole day away from her, and her being left undefended. I'll ask Creed to stay with her. The three of us can handle the damn vampire council. You chose him because he's made it, didn't you? Pest grinned. Instincts are a bitch. Fuck you. I wouldn't hit on your mate. I can be a dick, but not that much of one. You know me better than that. I didn't say you would. I know you have honor. I do. But I agree. Creed is the best choice to play guard.
Chapter 13. Mandy stretched and blindly reached across the bed for Glacier. She had a mate. It was an odd but wonderful concept. All she felt were sheets and an empty space next to her. She snapped her eyes open and sat up. The soft murmurs of male voices came to her. Two of them belonged to her mate and Pest. The other one wasn't familiar. She slid out of bed and headed into the bathroom since there were no sounds of fighting. Curiosity had her hurrying her shower. The black dye ran down her wet body. She grimaced as she shampooed and conditioned her hair, wondering if it would all wash out. It didn't take long to find out when she exited the hot shower and wrapped a towel around her waist, staring in the steamed mirror. The color had faded, but it wasn't back to blonde just yet. She shuddered, hoping she never had to use that canned stuff again. She left the bathroom and put on the clothing from the day before. Once dressed, she approached the window and carefully pulled back the drape, standing out of the way of the sunlight that streamed in. She shoved her free hand into the light. It didn't burn. Her skin didn't even tingle. Shit! The voices silenced from the other room, and seconds later the door opened, admitting Glacier. He closed it behind him and smiled.
Are you all right? We heard you moving around, the shower coming on and going off, but then you cursed.
She opened the drapes all the way, standing in front of the window to peer out. The view of the buildings and homes, lots of land in the distance where the population hadn't spread, was beautiful. Her vision wasn't as hazy as it had been the day before. The details were clear and crisp. She just couldn't see as far as she could at night. I'm fine. Just stunned. He came up behind her and wrapped his arms around her waist, tugging her back against his front. His chin rested on the top of her head. He inhaled.
You smell better.
She grinned. Yeah, shampoo and conditioner are a wonderful thing. That hair color stuff wasn't. The pillow is stained from my head where I slept. I noticed that as I got out of bed.
It doesn't matter. How are your eyes doing?
Much better.
Daily doses of my blood should help a lot. You'll adjust over time.
I don't need to feed every night.
You will while we're traveling. I won't have you susceptible to the sun, baby.
This is so weird, Glacier. It still freaks me out a bit. Yesterday, I was mostly in shock over the fact that I was outside in the sun and worried we'd be attacked. My focus was on you. Today, it's just kind of hitting me full blast. I'm standing here, not burning, and seeing this view in real life, not on some television screen. He turned her in his arms.
Look at me.
She peered up at him, placing her hands on his biceps.
Get used to it. This is your new normal. I won't have you vulnerable to being burned. We're mated. That makes us a team. My blood is yours. You will take it to keep yourself strong and without weaknesses.
She nodded, not willing to fight with him since she had no urge to do so. It's a miracle, though. That's how I feel. Who's out there? I heard a voice I don't know.
My two other brothers arrived about 20 minutes ago. They'd like to meet you.
She felt her guts twist.
It's okay.
Are they upset? I mean, over what I am?
No, they are happy I have a mate. It's what every man hopes to find.
You never slept with the same woman twice. They must be shocked.
You're special to me, though. They're aware of that.
How can you say that? You don't know me all that well. I changed a lot after becoming a vampire. Yesterday was so frantic, and now that we're safe, do you regret it? Feel forced into mating me since it was the only way to save me?
Never. No regrets, Mandy. You're mine. You're still a sweetheart, just tougher. I think you're perfect. We're going to make this work. I was always drawn to you in ways no one else made me feel. It was a sign. Now that I've found you again, I'm never letting you go.
He paused.
As a matter of fact, I'm grateful that you're not human anymore.
That surprised her. Why?
I feared my life would horrify you if you ever found out I wasn't human. That if I let you in, you'd want to flee the second I told you the truth. Some humans break mentally when they learn that they aren't the only thing walking this earth, or, in my case, sometimes flying over it. I'd have had to call in a favor from a vamp-lichen friend to wipe your memories to keep you safe before I walked away. Now I never have to let you go.
She blinked back tears. He was the sweet one, not her. We're in this together for life. It's my vow.
Good. Now come meet all my brothers. We could use your input.
On what?
How to scare the shit out of your council. We don't want them to go after the lichen pack since I wiped out that nest.
I don't think they will.
I'm not willing to risk it. They need to know what went down wasn't acceptable. Lichen kids died. If you were right and someone in the council was protecting Marco, they also need to know about it.
She understood. Someone had sent her and Olivia to kill the enforcer they believed was taking out Marco's nest. That never should have happened if someone had investigated what was really going on. Marco had earned a death sentence. No one else. I have an idea.
So do we.
He hesitated. What is it?
I have no plans to hurt your friend Olivia, but I'm guessing she's still in New Mexico looking for your killer. I wouldn't let that go if someone took out one of my friends. She'll have a number for the council. I want to call a meeting with them. My brothers and I will capture her to take her phone.
She bit her lip. I can call her. He cocked his head slightly, frowning. I don't remember all the phone numbers on my cell, but Olivia is different. We memorized each other's numbers in case of emergency. You don't need to hunt her down. Just give me access to a phone. She needed to say it. Thank you for not going after her before, when I know you could have.
You never asked me if I saw her.
I was afraid of the answer in case you had gone to her hotel. I wanted to pretend she was fine.
The last thing I ever want to do is hurt you, Mandy. Killing your friend would put a wedge between us.
I'd have understood, though. He cupped her chin, leaned in, and brushed his lips over hers.
Thank you for that. Now, my brothers are waiting.
He released her, stepped back, and offered his hand. She clasped it, feeling a bit nervous. She might be mated to a Garlichen, but it was still a frightening concept to be in a room with four of them. Pest seemed to like her, though. He'd been kind overall, but she wasn't about to forget how he'd said he'd take her out if he felt the need. Glacier opened the bedroom door and led her into the living area. Pest sat at the small table, and two big men were seated on the couch. She could see the family resemblance with their size and black hair. Some of their facial features were the same as well. Both men stood, showing off their impressive heights, just like her mate. The one with the longer hair smiled.
I'm Creed. You must be Mandy.
Welcome to the family.
He didn't offer his hand, but then again, he wasn't a human. She just smiled back.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you.
She's really a suckhead.
Glacier tensed at her side and released her hand, stepping forward.
Neb, she is my mate. Be nice, damn it.
Neb's eyes seemed to lighten as she watched. They went from a murky blue with what appeared to be some purple to a paler shade. He stared at her mate grimly. His gaze met hers next.
My apologies. I mostly take out bad nests. It's my main gig. Welcome to the family.
Thank you. I'm not a huge fan of vampires either. I always say I only like one out of every 10 that I meet. I totally get it. Some of them are pure assholes with a god complex.
His eyebrows arched.
I'm serious, she admitted.
He slowly let his gaze roam down her body before meeting hers again.
I take it that you didn't ask to be turned?
No, I didn't. I was grabbed to be some sicko's newest addition to a harem of female sex slaves he kept locked up in his basement. My friend Olivia and I were the newbies. The council who wiped out that nest decided we hadn't been tainted yet and put us through their assassin training. Olivia has assured me many times that they did us a favor. She was turned a week before I was. I'll take her word for it, since the master never got his hands on me. She wasn't so lucky.
Glacier put his arm around her.
I'd have gone hunting for you if I'd known a nest had taken you.
She turned her head, staring up at him.
It's okay. Let it go.
I should have checked on you when you didn't come into work.
The vamp who snatched me took my car. I saw it parked outside when the council let us out of the building we were kept in. He would have known something was wrong if he'd left it behind Bucket.
It's done and over with. He didn't look happy, but gave a sharp nod. Neb cleared his throat.
I have some questions for you, Mandy.
She looked at Glacier's brother, tensing. It had been a lot of years since she'd dated, but she remembered meeting the families of a few men. They always wanted to ask about her family and upbringing. She dreaded it every time. Things hadn't changed.
All right.
I want you to tell me everything about assassins. How many? Where they are? What kind of training they have?
He paused.
The rules they follow, or if they feel they are above the law. Come on, give her a break, bro.
Pest stood and walked over to stand on her other side.
She's our brother's mate, not someone for you to interrogate.
It's okay, I understand.
She held Neb's gaze. You said your main gig is killing vampires. It's important information for you to learn. I'm more than happy to answer your questions.
Later. First, we need to deal with the council.
Glacier let her go and withdrew his cell phone, pressed his thumb to it, and held it out.
Will Olivia answer her phone during the day?
Yes.
He hesitated, searching her eyes.
Are you certain you can trust her not to reveal that you're alive to the council?
She'd die before doing something like that.
You can't tell her everything.
I know.
It's a death sentence.
Neb rumbled.
You tell her drinking our blood can make her withstand sunbathing and she's toast. I'll personally hunt her ass down and take her out.
She glanced at him. It would put my mate, your brother, in danger. I'd never do that. Glacier pressed the phone into her hand.
I want a number for the council. Do you mind making the call in here? I trust you. My brothers are going to have to get to know you better. They'll worry like little old ladies.
She grinned, accepting the phone.
No problem.
Mandy felt nervous as she dialed Olivia. It rang three times before it was answered and silence greeted her. Seconds ticked by.
It's me.
Oh my fucking God,
Olivia burst out.
You're alive?
Why didn't you say hello?
Unfamiliar number. Hello? I can't believe you're alive. How? Why? Where the hell have you been?
Shit. I told the council you were dead. I found your tracker in a pile of ashes and your phone a few feet away under a dumpster.
What the fuck, Mandy? I've been crying my eyes out and grieving you.
It's a long story. I'm sorry. I'm alive, but the council can't find out. You know what will happen.
They'll have you hunted and kill you in ways that'll be epic horror tales to share for centuries with other assassins. What in the hell were you thinking? You can't get away with something like this. Someone will see you eventually. We can fix this. We'll think of something. Like the werewolves tortured you and faked your death so they could keep you longer. Something. I won't let you die. Where are you? How could you plan this without telling me? We never keep secrets. Olivia gasped in a deep breath and then began to cry. Mandy felt like shit. Glacier stepped behind her, putting his arms around her. She knew he and his brothers could hear the phone conversation clearly, even though it wasn't on speaker. Their hearing was great, and Olivia wasn't exactly yelling, but she wasn't whispering either in her upset state.
It's okay. It's complicated. I'm so sorry, but none of this was planned. I wouldn't do that to you.
What happened? Are you sure you're okay?
I'm fine. Safe. Tracker free.
Mandy leaned back against Glacier's solid, warm body, taking comfort in her mate.
You can't tell anyone I'm alive.
No shit,
Olivia sniffed, seeming to pull herself together.
They'd have you tracked down to the ends of the earth. No one escapes the council. I'm not losing you again. I've been a fucking mess since I found those ashes, thinking you were dead. I damn near walked myself up to the roof that morning to meet the sun.
We're partners.
Then I imagined what you'd say if I took the easy way out. I knew you'd have wanted me to hang in for 12 more years to join that nest in Los Angeles.
I'm so sorry.
What happened? Where are you? Whose ashes were those that I found?
The asshole vamp tracking that kid.
Olivia snorted.
I knew you were going to kill him.
So what?
You took out that prick and decided, hey, I'll rip out my tracker and fake my own death?
Why didn't you tell me first? I would have helped you. I always have your back, even when you do really stupid shit.
Mandy twisted her head, peering up at Glacier. She didn't know how much she could tell Olivia. He released her waist and cupped the hand holding the phone, lifting it a little.
Hello, Olivia. My name is Glacier. I'm a Gar Lycan. I'm the one who removed Mandy's tracker.
He paused.
We knew each other when Mandy was still human. I took her from that alley and she's been with me ever since. This was the first time I gave her my phone to call you.
He tapped the face of the phone.
You're on speaker. It's safe to talk. I'm not going to allow anything to happen to Mandy. She's my heart.
Holy shit, Olivia muttered.
For real?
It seems Gar Lycans do leave Alaska after all,
Mandy mumbled.
Wow.
Olivia sounded stunned.
Okay. Hello, Glacier. Did my bestie tell you we're owned by the council for another 12 years and they never let us go early?
They'll have everyone and everything tracking her. No way are they just going to let her go. It would encourage more of us to run. They can't have that.
She did. It's not gonna happen. They will believe she's dead. Even if they find out, I'd never allow them to hurt her. She's my mate.
Olivia gasped. She recovered fast, though.
Wait, if you knew her when she was human, why didn't you mate her then?
I mean, I don't know much about mating, but races with mates usually get instincts about that shit, right?
Mandy? Why didn't you mention this guy to me?
I did.
No. I'd remember a name like Glacier.
He used to go by the name Ice.
Shit, Olivia muttered.
Bingo, we have a winner. Hot bouncer, dude.
Man, she talked a lot about you. You're the one with the amazing ass, but who was a total man-whore who wouldn't give her the time of day.
What the hell is up with that if she was your mate?
Okay, that's enough reminiscing, Mandy blurted.
Glacier chuckled.
You liked my ass, huh?
She said you had buns of steel, Olivia added.
Shut it, Mandy ordered.
Olivia sighed. Thank you for letting me know you're alive.
Shit has hit the fan here. I needed good news.
Mandy tensed.
What's going on?
Someone, your mate is my guess, took out the nest. The council sent reinforcements to make an example out of the pack.
Right before dawn, a team of six showed up. I was given no warning until they called to hold a meeting. Vasquez is in charge. Tonight we're supposed to do recon on the pack, and the night after, hit them hard.